Good morning, Eurovision. You're listening to ESC Go and my name is Felix. I've just been on Skype with my colleague Martin and we've been talking about last night's semi-final one. Here we go. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning. Good morning from London. Lovely to be online with you this morning.
Yeah, the same. How did you like the show yesterday?
Oh, you know, I mean, mostly I liked it pretty well. I will say the very first thing I want to say is, my God, how good is it to have Eurovision back? I mean, really, I'm really glad that they built that into the introduction, that, you know, the first thing they said was, you know, here we are again. Here's Eurovision. Look, you know, look, it's here. It's happening. You know, we have delegations. We even have an audience. I like the fact that we saw the audience a lot during the show, just to sort of say to you, to Europe and to the world, really, you know, look, Eurovision is at the front of this recovery and this push back towards a normal world. So I'll say that before we even get to the songs and the results and anything else, you know, how cool to have that back.
Yeah. Did you watch with commentary or without?
Yeah, I watched the BBC stream, which you know, it was a bit strange because they had to change their commentator at the last minute, and I kind of had the impression where they were maybe a bit less prepared than they would be. Normally, it's a guy called Rylan who is a real Eurovision fanboy, and he's pretty good. But they had a little last minute change to because he was ill to some other BBC people, and it was fine. I've heard some criticism about it, but you know, my main problem with the BBC is not the commentary. In fact, it's the fact that they always cut to the studio during the advertising breaks, and we don't see some of the, you know, the mini interval pieces. But you know, that's what they're for. Broadcasters do that. It's okay. I was expecting it. How about you?
On our side, the German commentator, I think, was talking over the introduction quite a bit, so we didn't really hear that Eurovision is back thing. We'll have to watch again.
Yeah, that's a shame, but at least I guess the clean YouTube feed will be available, so you can get the feeling.
Yes.
So since I mentioned it, the songs, the results, what was your take on the performances? Who impressed you? Who surprised you?
I was surprised by Israel, positively actually. I didn't think too much of the song. I also based my prediction on what I've seen in the first rehearsal, of course. I didn't see the second rehearsal, I didn't see the dress rehearsal, so that's where my prediction came from, basically, was the first rehearsal. So that was a bit of a surprise, but a nice one, because I'm happy for her. What impressed me was Ukraine, but that was a bit already, I knew this would be impressive. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Israel, I kind of had a feeling about from seeing I blogged about the first dress rehearsal for ESC Go, and I had the feeling, actually, if anything, last night she seemed more nervous. She wasn't smiling as much, so I was a bit worried for her, but I thought the overall vibe was really friendly of the performance. The last 30 seconds is really effective, and I think that's what gave it the boost, you know, above Croatia. Yeah. I know a lot of people are very sad about Croatia today. It feels like the one big robbed performance, but I think it really suffered against, you know, the dynamics that Israel and Azerbaijan had in the last 30 seconds of their performance, whereas Croatia was just kind of the same all the way through. And I think that was the difference.
Yep. The staging in Croatia was really not doing them any favor.
Nope, totally agree with that. Otherwise, well, I mean, yeah, I kind of the same as you. I mean, we knew that Ukraine and Russia were going to be strong. I must say it again because I've been doubting it for the first rehearsals, but when I saw it, I'm losing my days, Monday's dress rehearsal, I've suddenly realized, okay, Malta is actually staging this thing really well. I mean, whatever you think of the song, because that's personal taste, but they're actually getting a lot out of it. And when Destiny relaxes into it and starts to smile a little bit, which, you know, she's got a lot to do and she's clearly a bit stressed, when she gets to the second half, her personality comes out. I'm like, okay, now I understand. Doesn't matter if it's a winner or not, but now I at least understand why it's being talked about in that way. I get it now. You know, and then, I mean, it's presumably it's drawn first half in the final. I assume it's going to get one of those precious, you know, 11, 12, 13 kind of spots in the running order, and maybe Iceland will as well, and we'll have a big battle between those two in the middle of the draw. Who knows?
Let's stay at the borderline candidates. What do you think, what came through yesterday which was actually borderline? What would be 9th or 10th place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, in theory, my answer should be Azerbaijan, because it's the one that I didn't include in my ESC Go prediction, because I had some weird idea that Australia would get a big sympathy vote, which just never materialized, clearly. But even, to be honest, on seeing it, Azerbaijan was probably 7 or 8. So borderline, well, I mean, I maybe sort of Norway or... Well, we said Israel. Israel kind of makes sense because they dragged it into the final with a good performance. But maybe Norway, maybe even Belgium. I always said all along, Belgium is a jury song, and I didn't think it was great last night. So if they came third with the juries and, you know, bottom three with a tenor or something, then I guess that equals 9th or so, doesn't it, overall?
Exactly.
So maybe. What about
because,
you?
Because I noticed your Azerbaijan is she's Norway and my Belgium from our prediction. So I think all these three could be around the 10, actually.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. The ones that we didn't have the consensus with all three of us agreeing. Yeah. I definitely think that the ones we all agreed on were probably, maybe with the exception of Sweden, which I think we all thought was, you know, It's not tearing up trees, but it's very solid. So we all predicted it. Maybe with that exception, I think the others would be the top performers in the semi. I think we can see that Malta, Ukraine, what are we saying, Russia, Lithuania, those kind of Cyprus. You know, Cyprus, that's probably your top five in the semi. Really, maybe Sweden instead of Russia, but it'll be fascinating to see, as always, on the early hours of Sunday when we get these detailed statistics.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see how it breaks down.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another material for days to discuss.
Exactly. That's the beautiful thing. After Eurovision is never really after Eurovision.
No.
You know, there's always new analysis we can do.
Last place, I guess we both are on the same country.
Yeah, I have a horrible feeling. I mean, as much as I don't get the North Macedonian song, and as much as Romania, for example, obviously the performance was anything but optimal, but really last place, I can't really see beyond poor Ireland. It just didn't work at all, did it, bless her. I mean, it was kind of coming together in the dress rehearsals as well, but you know, that little delay they had before it probably made her even more uncertain than she was. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, would that have qualified even if it had all been perfect? I really don't know.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So it would not surprise me to see that 16th and last, I'm afraid. Sorry, Ireland. I wonder, that's a really interesting question. I wonder if any of these singers will come back for a third time. You know, if Australia has their restrictions, you know, lifted by then, and they can take part normally again, I wonder if they'll say to Montaigne, hey, you never had the chance, you know, go to Eurovision for real this time. Who knows?
What did you think about the pre-recorded vocals? Now I return this.
Yeah, I asked you that question in a 3 minutes to talk episode, it was very cruel throwing you in at the deep end like that. Do you know what? I mean, obviously, I am still fundamentally against them, but it maybe wasn't as bad as I thought, because actually, quite a lot of countries seem to use them, but also bring a hidden backing vocalist like Norway. You could tell the second lead vocal there was live. You know, other countries were doing the same, using it just to sort of fill the sound, but not to be the only thing. I'd say the ones you really noticed it are mostly ones that didn't qualify. So Slovenia and North Macedonia, right? They had those really, really obvious choruses that were just not there on stage. They didn't even have anyone miming to them, and they didn't qualify, you know. So the only one really is Azerbaijan, let's be honest. Azerbaijan, she takes the microphone away from her mouth half of the time, you know. So it's not that she can't sing, you know, she holds the verses fine, but in the chorus she's doing nothing, you know. That's all recorded, and that's a bit fake, but it, like I say, I'm still against it, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it might have been.
Yeah. And sure, some brought dancers instead of singers, which I have nothing against dancers, but maybe that's the wrong focus.
Well, I think the risk is that if every country decides, oh, yeah, no, we can bring dancers now, then all the performances kind of look the same as well. Mm. You know, and maybe, again, Croatia suffered a bit from that because it's just another performance that's got four dancers and some pre-recorded vocals and all that. So, you know, it could be that you get punished for, you know, for using those decisions anyway. I don't know.
Mm.
So the weird thing about Eurovision is that it all comes so quickly now. So we've had semi-final one, we're still processing the results, and then suddenly already we're into semi-final two. And in fact, you, Felix, are going to be blogging the first dress rehearsal for ESEGO. So given that you've got a few hours now to get yourself in the mindset, tell me what you're most looking forward to in the second semi.
Yes, of course, it's a big switch to do now from semi-1 to semi-2 in just a few hours. So I'm looking forward to San Marino, of course. I'm not sure if it was necessary to invite an international superstar for this, but I'm still curious how it will all be on stage and how this is going to work. I'm not sure yet. Then I'm looking forward to Austria, especially tonight in the jury rehearsal, which will be blocked by She, and Switzerland. I'm curious about Switzerland, if he gets the balance right between dancing too much and dancing just the right amount. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly do, because I saw the rehearsal clip and I thought, that's too much. But if it's different over 3 minutes, then, you know, I'm very curious about it. That's for sure.
Mm. And Bulgaria, I have no idea yet how this works in the context, because I've only seen the individual rehearsal, and I'm curious how this will feel like in the whole lineup.
Mm. Definitely. That's always a really interesting factor, seeing how they all work back to back for the first time.
Yeah. Especially after Portugal.
Yeah.
Which comes after Albania, which comes after Georgia. So
it's an interesting run, that's for sure. Yeah. Cool. Well, I look forward to reading your blog and seeing what you make of it.
This was the first edition of Good Morning Eurovision. We all know it's not morning anymore, but
well, it's just about morning when I record this, but by the time it gets online, it'll be afternoon. Okay. But that's fine.
And it's still morning in San Francisco.
That's right.
So thank you for being a part of this.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, and see you next time.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye-bye.